Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Makes me smile. Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation these days. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, names, labels, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, shamans, and that list. My God, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, put your feet up, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb today, we welcome, and of course, Grant Collier, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, so if you would like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. With Grant around, it does fill up. Deb's in the chat room. If you have any questions, she's the one you should IM. I don't multitask. So she's the one that will have whatever answer to whatever question you have because I don't watch the screen. So I don't even know when somebody's trying to talk to me. Deb is the one you want to get to. She's the coho. Ken Quiet Hawk, that amazing voice, can be found at nativestorytellers.com. I'm at BarbaraDeLong.com, and our special guest tonight can be found at GrantCollier.co.uk. I did want to mention that there are a whole bunch of wonderful shows out there. My list has decided to take a vacation from me. I would mention, of course, Grant's show. I think it's Becoming Psychic, and he does it from the UK, and it's fabulous. It's just kind of like this one, only with a British accent. Well, not quite, but almost. They do readings there, and that's the important thing. And you can get phenomenal readings from this unusual and very eclectically oriented man if you so wish. The other shows that I highly recommend are, of course, Chris's at Curious Time. She's on every night, 10 to 12. Then absolutely don't ever, ever miss Renee Richards on her show. And let's see. You know, I know there are a ton that I have on the list that I highly, highly endorse. And the reason I go to the trouble of endorsing shows is because Anne Rose, of course, she's got her show on too. The reason I endorse shows, I'm not a critic, but I do know what I like as far as spiritual energy goes. And there's Bite Radio with Robert Sharp also. And they're coming back. My memory isn't as bad as I thought it was. But there are so many shows on Blog Talk, and some of them are just unbelievably excellent, like the ones that I've recommended as far as I'm concerned. And there are others that are okay, and then there are still others that, let me just say that they aren't as spiritual as they put out to be, and therefore sometimes you can be misinformed. And, you know, this is supposed to be for entertainment purposes, but we all know that everybody takes everything quite seriously. So I will try to put a list out of endorsable shows on my website so that you can go to that list and check out those shows that I endorse that I think are wonderful and spiritual and just a joy to be around. I'll put it right off of my Nightlight page on my website. That way you can go there, you can see what I endorse, the people that I feel have spiritual, sincere, and compassionate, loving energy, and you know, check them out. Otherwise, make your own list, but it takes forever. I've had the benefit of being on Blog Talk for, gosh, over 7 years now. So I've been around the barn a couple of times, and I'll put that list up probably later on tonight. So do check out my website for that list, because they're wonderful, wonderful people, and they can get lost in. I mean, there are over 3,000 spiritual shows out there. So when you have that many that you have to go through and you have to try them all on for size, it can be a very exhausting process, and you can end up just absolutely fed up with everything. So at least this way you'll know of shows that I endorse, that the readings and the readers, have, in my opinion, a quality that is, well, let me put it this way, I'd get readings from them. Not Chris at Curious Time. She is not avowed to be psychic, but she has a very practical mind. And she has some very wonderful readers on her show. I do her show every Sunday. So, But if she's doing the readings, I would, you know, get a snack from the refrigerator and see what's on TV. But she is a spectacular woman, and she has a phenomenal show, and she does that show 7 days a week, and I don't think she's taken a break in probably the last 5 years. So on to my fabulous guest. I can't tell you how excited I am that he is sharing time with us, at least for the next couple of months, once a month. He, I heard about him through the grapevine, actually, and I listened to him, and he has an amazing ability to tap into your spirits. He's an amazing medium, but on top of that, he has a fabulous singing voice. He does ghost hunting. He does all sorts of other aspects of the spiritual realm, and he has mastered all of them. Not a case of jack of all trades, master of none, as far as I can tell, if in the spiritual realm anyhow. Anytime he puts his finger to something, it turns to gold for him, and he's able to hit right into an artery of spiritual energy and be able to give people information that they truly need to hear and are seeking to hear. And sometimes he can give them information they didn't even know they were looking for. And, of course, he has that wonderful accent. So he could almost just read the telephone book and you'd want to listen raptly. He is talented and he is gifted and he is generous enough to share his time with us once a month for the next couple of months. So let me see if I can find Deb. Deb has brought him in. I just can't find where Deb is in the queue. Deb, open his mic, will you? Or open your mic. Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, Barbara, and I know that it's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken, and so much has been happening in my end, it's unbelievable. It's an absolute pleasure to come back onto your show, darling. I've missed it, and I love coming in and talking to people across the pond and picking up on their energies as much as I do over here in the UK. But I've been out working in Spain as well, in the Gran Canaria Islands. I've just come back from Lanzarote. Which is still 30 degrees out there, so it's very, very hot. But I've done a show out there and also done a lot of private work as well while I was out there. So I was sitting in the sun giving people readings all day. So, yeah, I've been living the high life.
You poor thing.
I know, well, it's such a hard life.
I know, you have to struggle, so don't you? Do you have other projects that are on the back burner here? Because as I recall, there was one that was sort of bubbling when last we talked. Was there something about a movie?
Well, actually, it's a documentary, film that I'm still waiting for from one of them. That was to do with ITV, which is one of our mainstream channels over here. And it's following the work and the work that I do alongside a few other psychics as well. So that's still in the pipeline. That still has to be piloted and be put out there, and they have to gather as much information before they come back to me. So that can take months. So that's still there. That's still happening. But I've just shot a pilot for the BBC, and that's more looking at the area of pretty much how the psychic is outside of the work. So they're looking at what we do, but they're also looking at the normalities of what we are as these people that are light workers outside of our work. So that basically what they want to do is put out to the people across the world that don't understand this work is that more to do with the energy of how we tick. And I think that's good, because I think there's a lot of people across the world that are very sceptical, because they've always sort of gone too heavy on the energy of, like, you know, the archangels and unicorns and bits and pieces. So I think they're trying to put a generalization that we have normal life, we are normal people, we can go out there and you know, socialize as normal people. We don't live our life by it. And then this is what the documentary shows with the pilot, that, you know, I can be an amazing reader and have this gift, but I can also be somebody that can, you know, balance my energy and live a life as well.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Well, you know, it's sort of like what I've been doing, not obviously a pilot, but I'm doing the spiritual development circle online.
Yeah.
I found it a little horrifying that people that truly think their spiritual and on a spiritual pathway don't have the faintest idea what spiritual is. So we've been sort of, actually, it's sort of like, I know you and I and some of the readers that I know, her, you know, Lizzie Starr and Ray Booker, and, you know, we're all, I would call us old school. And the people coming out of the closets today don't have the same the benefit of the same kind of background that we had when we were starting in and growing in the field. So I told everybody that this was a class, you know, it was not for spiritual development. It was not for becoming psychic. It was not for becoming a medium. It was for understanding the aspects that are out there that we have access to at all times and that we can use to incorporate into our lives to make them richer. And by the way, you're probably going to become more psychic.
Well, I think if people misinterpret the word spiritual, I mean, you know, if you go out and you buy a tree and you plant it in the garden, you're doing work for the energy of the universe and the world and Mother Earth. And the fact of the matter is that you don't have to be talking to departed loved ones in this other dimension to be spiritual. You can be spiritual within your spiritual body and do the earthly things, and that's being spiritual as well. And I think these people misinterpret the energy of what we class as the word spiritual, you know. And I think that's that can be a bit grating on the energy of us when we're in this world.
You know, that's a very good point, because most people think that spiritual means the woo-woo stuff, and it doesn't. It means taking responsibility for ourselves, taking our power back where we've given it away, and making sure there's harmony within ourselves and then within our environment. So it really has nothing to do with anything of a psychic nature. It has to do with being in tune with ourselves and our environment and our planet. So
absolutely. Because spiritual guidance is guidance from spirit above. But if you can be a friend of somebody and give that guidance of a situation that they can see around you, that is being spiritual. And we are living spirits, and we are people that are a spiritual energy, that we can still put that energy and change people's lives around.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. And I, unfortunately, you know, because part of the program that we are involved in does talk with people who have crossed over and stuff like that, people misinterpret the rest of the work and get sometimes quite freaked out by that particular aspect of it. But I think that's fabulous. I know that when they do a pilot, then they have to take it out and sell it to networks. How long does that usually take?
Well, that could take anything from, like, you know, 6 weeks to 6 months. It could even take up to a year. The thing is with pilots, and a lot of these pilots of ideas from smaller TV companies that put them over to the big corporations of TV, you know, they've got to look at it. They've got to feel that it's right for the people, that people are going to understand it. And this is something that I actually said to this particular TV company. I said, look, as long as you put it over in a way of generalization and you don't go too deep with it, people won't lose the concept of it. And I think that's what we need. See, when it comes to this work, I'm a bit like the Simon Cowell of the music world, you know. I'm very much one of these people that says, look, it's got to be appealing to people, otherwise people won't get it and they'll switch off. And that's something where I feel like, you know, you've got to be grounded with it. You can't go too heavy into it, because we want people that don't understand it to be interested, to then go and learn more from it and go, do you know what, I can relate to the energy of what this man's saying. He has got a normal life. I think he's the type of guy that I can go and drink with in a bar or a pub, and I get his energy and I will listen to him. But if you're too far and too heavy with it, people lose the concept of it and they become fearful of it. And I think this is something that's been happening for many years. We can be very old school with it, but we've learned to understand that we've got a new generation of the way that the work is put forward. And I think this is very, very much a time when that needs to be put forward. So it's a lighter energy that people can understand it, and people don't fear it going forward into it, or they fear it when they need that guidance.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think one of the things that just in my generation, or in my length of time in the field, which is, you know, all right, it's 50 years, when I started in the field, if I had even mentioned that this is what I did, I would have lost my job. I was a school teacher. 25 years later, when I did retire, you know, people would ask me for a reading over lunch. But at the same time, this field tends to isolate you, because people, for some reason, are leery of you. Not that you're going to say something that's going to upset them, but I know a lot of people think, oh, they can read your mind. Be careful. Don't be around them. Don't let your guard down.
You know, and of course, you can also be in the area, Barbara, where you're telling somebody something about their life. And you know how spirit work. They'll give you the guidance, but they'll validate something to bring it forward. And you can turn around and go, be halfway through a message talking about a loved one coming forward, and then you're talking about a new relationship coming in, and you have to do X, Y, Z because you've been hurt by this. And then suddenly you might turn around and go, oh, just by the way, there's a tooth that needs looking at, and it's at the back of your head that it needs looking at, otherwise you're going to get an abscess there. And then 2 days later, somebody will turn around and go, oh, I've got a toothache. You've cursed me. No, that's not me cursing you. That's me just validating the energy of what they're putting over as the guidance field, just to let you know that what I was giving to you with all the other messages was going to come into fusion because of what you felt within the validation that happened in a couple of days. But people do get frightened because they do think that we're some sort of witch, or they think that we can curse them in some way. And I think that that's well, obviously diabolical, but because, you know, as many of us know that witches weren't bad. They were, most of them were healers, but they were just classed in that energy of something negative.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, there have been a few times where if I could have thrown some sort of a cloaking device over someone's mouth or something, I surely would have done it. it's sort of every now and then it's like, you know, if only I could remember how to turn you into a frog, you'd be croaking at this moment, you know. But you know, what you and I do is something that everyone has the capability of doing. It's just a matter of recognizing it and training it. And yes, I think those of us that are in the field now are more open to embracing that aspect of life. And often what prevents people from getting really involved in this is their fear. And their fear will set up a block, and that block will mean, you know, you're not going to do it this lifetime. But everyone's capable of it. It's not that, you know, we have a star over our head or on our forehead or anything like that. It's just that this is something that our belief system was not afraid of and embraced, and then we could work on it and learn how to use it and learn how to help to facilitate helping other people. But there's no magic here. It was work. And the work was on ourselves. I think that's the one thing that most people don't understand, that in order to really have this gift and use it adequately and sincerely and spiritually, we have to work on ourselves first. We have to clear ourselves. We have to admit that we have, you know, warts and things like that, and we have to take care of them. And then when we've done the work on ourselves, then we can turn around and say to others, okay, you know, I've been through this lesson. I understand what you're going through, and you know, maybe there's another direction. So,
yeah,
you know,
it is something that I think people realize that they have to be doing with themselves. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's about the spiritual work or if it's relationship. I've only just done a reading this evening on that basis that, you know, if I turn around and say to somebody, oh, there's the relationship coming in, but it's not yet, and they go, why? I go, because you're not in the energy of where you feel right in yourself. So if that relationship was meant to come in now, then it wouldn't be right because you're not in love with your own energy and you need to be in the right place. So I think that, you know, everything happens when you're in a confident energy. The fact of the matter is the universe brings it in, and as you well know, spirit work with us and not the other way around. So they know exactly when and as and when that they feel that is the right time for you to come into this energy, and that obviously takes time. But you know as well as me, Barbara, that confidence is the biggest thing with this work, and saying what you feel that might seem stupid is something that you have to give. I mean, you know, I think that a lot of people believe, but they believe with their head and not with their heart. And that is a massive transition that they have to get over. When people think, oh, that's easy, it's not. That's a massive transition.
It truly is. It truly is. And even so, I think the other thing that people really need to understand is, you know, our feet are clay just like everybody else's. We make mistakes just like everybody else. We screw up just as well as everybody else does. We may at this point in time do it privately so other people don't see it as often, but it's still there. You know, if we were perfect, we would be on the other side, and we're not. So I anticipate living a very long life here because of that.
Well, yeah, I think me and you together there, Barbara, because I'm sure I've got plenty more mistakes to make. And that's all part of the test of this life, you know. The thing is, we do have to go through them to get to where we learn the knowledge to take it over to the other side and bring it back to the people with guidance. So, you know, it is very much that we will have to serve for a long time within that energy. And, you know, I'm sure there's many other mediums and psychics out there that have gone, oh, you know, I'm drained through life and I know that I've still got another 20 years ahead of me or 30 years ahead of me. So, you know, it is our sense of purpose. We know that we have to do it. It is our life. And a lot of people out there that think that this job is easy, you can only talk to Barbara yourself. And it's not easy, Barbara, is it? It's not an easy energy to come into.
No, it's not easy. And, it's not easy, but I have to tell you, it is such a joyful thing to do for a living. I can't imagine doing anything else. And it gives me such pleasure and such joy that it's just phenomenal. And is it work? Oh, my goodness gracious, yes. And do I have to look in the mirror every now and then say, oh, I know who that message was for, and it won for the person on the other end of the phone.
Yep, so, absolutely.
You know, it's a wonderful... it's a wonderful venue to be drawn to, and I have to admit that it has opened up the world to me. And, you know, by trade I was a teacher, and I enjoyed teaching very much. Didn't like the, you know, administration or the parents, but loved the kids. And now I have it's a different form of teaching, but it's teaching nonetheless. And I am learning so much from it, and I think you probably feel the same way, that you learn from everyone you read, as hopefully they learn from you, so that it is a give and a take. It's not this highly evolved spirit here saying this is the way, and you know it's more or less of a here's what I know, what do you know, and I'm getting from your energy something that I can learn from too. So it's a wonderful, wonderful way of learning and growing and evolving. We got a bunch of people here, so I kind of think we're going to have to start reading. kind of think I could talk to you forever, and I have a feeling there'd be a lot of ticked off people here. Just for those of you that have never been in the queue before on this show, we don't let you ask a question. We will give you what we get, and hopefully that can be applied to whatever issue you have going on. My theory, my philosophy is that a lot of times the mundane things that are bothering you, that are foremost in your mind and spirit and soul, really have a deeper spiritual cause or source. And by letting us give you what Spirit's giving us, gives us the opportunity to possibly give you the key to solve not only the mundane things but the deeper spiritual things as well. So if you let us give you what we're getting, you'll get far more. So, but if you are sitting there and you have a burning question that you really have to have answered specifically, there are tons of other shows out there. There are wonderful shows out there that will let you ask a question and they'll address only the question you're asking. And I highly recommend you go to them, because asking a specific question is not appropriate here. We're going to give you from a different level of spirit, so to speak, or a different channel of spirit. I guess the energies are all the same. This is just a different channel, not higher, not lower, just different. Okay, that said, that's my disclaimer. We have Ibitar here. Hi, Ibitar. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Barbara. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Just absolutely couldn't be more spectacular. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. You sound spectacular, too. Hi to your guest as well.
Well, he's phenomenal. Okay, so What I'm seeing for you is I'm seeing the fountains of Copenhagen. I'm seeing all of those magnificent fountains there that were done in the 14th, 15th, 16th centuries. And I'm seeing you as being there when they were constructed. And I'm picking up on a past lifetime in which you were an artisan. And you worked with stone and you worked with water. And you blended the two magnificently. And it feels to me as in that lifetime you were in high demand because of your craft, because of your creativity, because of your ability to solve problems that no one else could. And so you were the one that they always came to with their most exquisite and their most profoundly huge projects. And you had enough work for probably three or four lifetimes. And so you had four sons. You had daughters too, but they didn't count during that particular lifetime. And you had four sons who worked with you. And you had projects going on constantly, not only in Copenhagen, but in Holland and in France and in Italy as well. And you loved working with the stone, and the water was just kind of like the icing on the cake. And so in this lifetime, it feels there is a draw to stone, there is a draw to water, and not necessarily, in the same place, in the same time, or in the same way even. But water soothes you, water heals you, water cleanses you. And it can be, salt water is best. But fresh water is okay if you don't happen to have any Epsom salts around. But you are a person who needs to be spiritually cleansed often, not because you're dirty, but because you are so compassionate, you attract other people's energy to yours, and you take on whatever their problems are. So sea salt is important for you to sort of, cleanse yourself and let go of those issues that are other people's. Otherwise, that neck and shoulder problem is probably going to get a little worse, so I would really look to the Epsom salts for that. The other place I see you is Machu Picchu. And it feels as though you were there at the creation of those stones. And what I find fascinating is that you were one of the artisans that, this is going to sound so weird, that melted the stone so it blended together so that you didn't require mortar. And if it sounds like I'm telling you that you were an extraterrestrial, I am. You did it with vibration. I'm not sure how, but you came into this dimension, not of your own choosing. I do believe you got left here. You missed the boat, so to speak. And so you spent time down in Machu Picchu in Peru, in that area. You helped to create a lot of the structures that were down there, and you had the ability with tone to melt the rocks so that they looked like they had been, have you ever been to Machu Picchu?
Energetically, I go there, in doing meditation, but not physically.
Okay. So Machu Picchu is probably one of the youngest of these kind of structures around. And the stones there look like somebody's taken a butter knife and just smoothed them into positions. And the other place I want to take you is the site that is right next to Pumapunka, and it's a site that the indigenous people built to sort of try to call back the sky people. And you were there at that particular time too. That goes back, oh my God, that goes back probably 20,000-30,000 years. But there is this ability you have to work with your hands, to work with your energy, to make things happen. And I'm not saying that you can change people's lives or change the future or anything like that. But if you're working on a project of some sort of your own, you have the power, you have the capacity to make things fit where no one thought they would fit, to put either circumstances or people in places where no one thought they would fit, and yet you knew they would blend in, you knew they would meld in. You have a gift of blending and melding substances, people, situations that no one would even expect would ever, 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 ever work, and you can make them happen flawlessly. You have an aspect of you that is a part of this reality, yet not of this reality, so that you are constantly sort of reaching, looking for seeking spiritually that other place where you know your spirit belongs. You have seen the giants walk the earth, and I'm not talking biblical times, I'm talking way before then. You have seen so much that has happened to the earth here that you are profoundly tied to it and hurt greatly when it is abused. You know it's a living entity, and so much of you hopes and prays that humanity will turn around and understand that we are living on a living planet. It's not a hunk of rock. It's a living entity. And if we treat it well, it will carry us through space and time to the place that is truly our home. Okay?
Okay, Barbara, what country was the last place you mentioned about the meltings of the...
That's in Belize. I'm going to turn you over to my fabulous guest, Grant.
Hi, Grant.
Hello, honey. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I've got this lovely energy of a man that's stepping in here that wants to pass a message on. Now, I do get the energy of a father figure here, so I feel like this is Dad. Do you understand what I mean by this, darling? He's your father in spirit.
Yes.
Okay, very strong man, got very, very big arms on him. And he almost showed me the energy of the man. Do you remember the big guy in the Green Mile? There's this energy of a big, strong energy of a man here. Does that relate to the energy of your father, my darling?
Yes, he was a big man. He was tall.
He was tall,
but he was very tall, yeah.
He was, and he was very, very strong here. I get the energy, and it's funny how... Barbara talked about the energy of the water that connects with you in past life, because the super moon that's affecting a lot of people at the moment has really affected your energy at the moment. Because when we think about the moon and the tides and water, do you understand where it's bringing a lot of emotion forward within the energy around you at the moment? It feels like you're drained down within it. Does that make sense to you, honey?
To some degree. Like Barbara said, what I do when I get in that water,
And that's something you need to do. But this moon's energy is really drawing you down. Now, you've got a daughter, haven't you, darling?
A what?
You have a daughter?
A daughter? No, I don't. I had two sons.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's your father just calling out for you as the daughter. He talks about the daughter here. But he talks about three girls. Do you understand about the three girls in the family? Are you one of three?
If he had other girls, I don't know about them.
Oh, okay. But I've got three energies of girls. So it could well be that he was talking that he had three sisters, or he's talking about you within the three girls. But he's talking about the three girls. He does say to me here, and it's funny how Barbara talked about the shoulder and the neck, actually, because as I'm talking to you, I've got this dull pain that runs all the way down to my wrist. So I don't know if it's something you've been dealing with recently, but it's like it's permanently been there since you've come on the line, and it's almost like all the way down the right hand side of your body. Does that make sense to you, honey?
It's on the left. You know, sometimes I wake up and my hands are hurting, like, and it's my shoulder, and it's I know what's causing it. It's whatever these devices is they use to tap into the field. That's what that is.
Absolutely. And it's almost like the energy is going down, and it's almost like going down to the wrist. It's right into the energy of my wrist.
Exactly.
And I feel like at the moment, like Barbara's saying, you do need to get in that water. You need to put some sea salt in a bath. You need to get into that energy, and you need to release some of it, because there's a lot of energy that you're taking on through the energy of other people, and that's what you do, because your energy is so much there, like Barbara was saying. You take on a lot of other people's stresses. Now, I know that within the energy here, not only within the stresses of your arm, I'm talking about the energy of your hips and down to your legs. Do you understand what I mean by this?
Yeah, it's affecting that area too.
Yeah, because it almost makes me feel like at times it can be quite stressful, or it really is painful. So I know this is something that you really need to do within that cleansing field, without a doubt. Now, I am looking here, and I'm being shown the energy of, like, looks like to me like a very small animal, I would go with the energy of dog because I'm being told dog in my ear. And I feel like I want to put the energy of the dog around you. Is it something you have nearby to you right now?
No, I don't have a dog. I had a dog when I was little.
Was it a little thing, little fluffy thing?
Yes, yes. He was a shaggy dog. Yeah, a little shaggy dog.
I see that. He's around you, and I feel like he's around you within the energy of a guide type feel. I feel like you are on a mission because there is this sense and feeling of what I'm being told here by your father is that you had this caring energy about dealing with people through life. So this could well be something you've done through life, that you've always been there for people. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't think it's the nursey feel, but I do get that nursey energy about you. Like, you know, there should have been some medical background in family somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this is something that's drawn into your energy, and you are here to suffice the energy of that on the earth plane as much being spiritual. I do know that when your father comes forward here, he does talk about the energy of somebody that's drowned in the family. Who drowned in the family?
I'm not sure who that was. I know my son almost drowned when he was a boy, but he didn't drown. He almost drowned.
That's right, because I get the feeling like he's talking about the drowning. It didn't feel like a swimming pool. It felt like a lake, because I'm looking at the murky water. Does that make sense?
Well, this was a swimming pool that my son almost drowned in.
Right, well, then hold on to the information, because he's talking to me about somebody that I feel that they drowned. And he's talking about somebody that he knew around his energy in his time that he says he has over there with him. He does talk about April as being a connection to a birthday or an anniversary. That could be a passing time or a birthday or a celebration there for something to do with your father or yourself. But I know that he sends that love to you. And he also talks about September of this month being very important as well. Do you understand them two dates, darling?
No, I don't. The only date that I know in September was a previous anniversary, and then my son's father's birthday is on the 25th.
Ah, okay. And also the 2nd of a month? So there's also a birthday on the 2nd of a month, I'm being shown here.
I'm not familiar with that. 2nd of September?
Of any month. He's just showing me the 2nd, but I don't know what month I'm in. I'm going to ask him
brother,
now.
My brother.
Oh, okay.
That's not September, that's March. I got the month.
That's right. He said earlier in the year. He's taking me back earlier in the year. So he's just sending his love over to your brother as well. And he also talks about, and I've got to say to you, it sounds like the name Aiden or Arden or Aiden?
Is that a man's name or a woman's name?
It's a male name, like Aiden or Adam. There's like an A-D name there.
I'm not sure.
I wasn't close to
my father, so I'm not sure.
That's totally understandable why he's come forward then, because he wants to let you know that he is around you. He works very, very much around your energy, darling. And I feel like you should be put your energy out to him, and he will come back in, and he will give you a lot of guidance to the other people that you're around. So he will work through you, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay? I'll leave his love with you, darling. I hope that's helped.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you, Father.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we've got Cheryl here. Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous.
Fantastic. I like to hear that kind of stuff. You understand that this is an open reading, so we're giving you what we get, right?
That's fine. Sometimes those are the best.
Oh, always they're the best. Let me put it this way. You get the best that we have to offer this way. So that's the cool thing. I'm seeing a lot of porcelain around you. Now, I don't know that I'm really dealing with this lifetime, but I am dealing with A lifetime. I want to take you back into Germany. I think, when I'm seeing, you had a lifetime in Germany, where you created fine porcelain, and it was magnificent porcelain. You had a love of the glazes, the colors, especially the cobalt, and that was something that you spent your whole life working on and with. You loved being an artist. You hated having to do things over and over and over again. And I'm taking you back now into probably the 1700s. And that was a lifetime where you were just so creative that it was unbelievable. You forgot to take baths. You forgot to eat. You never married in that particular lifetime because you were so into your craft, your art, and the element of creation. And during that lifetime, you did create some magnificent porcelains that stand today in museums, a couple in Russia for sure, a couple are in St. Petersburg. And if I take you back to, I want to take you back to, and I want to go back almost 1,000 years, and I want to take you back into China, and this is another place where porcelain, things, I call it porcelain because it feels more like China than, it's not pottery, it's something that has a glaze on it. And I feel that there was intricacy here, there was fine brushwork, you were an artisan, but you were crazy, in a good way. You could not deal with society, so you sank yourself into an obsession with creating the most beautiful porcelain that could ever be created. And, oh, my God, did you do magnificent stuff. It was delicate. It was fragile. It was just beyond belief. And you spent your entire lifetime. I do believe during that lifetime you were a male and you were a part of the royal family. You weren't part of the family that they talked about a lot, but you did create pottery that was just phenomenal. And, you know, I feel that some of your pottery has been buried in some of those tombs that have yet to be discovered in China. I mean, I'm going back that far, 4,000 years, 5,000 years. The element of delicacy, the element of color on white backgrounds mostly, to say you were a master is not even giving it full justice. You were a master of masters. You never taught because you couldn't waste your time with people that didn't know what you knew and there wasn't anybody around. So you had a very solitary lifetime that time too, but it was a very comfortable one. You bring to this lifetime that delicacy, that eye for finite work, for delicate work. You love color. Color is very important to you. And from what I'm seeing here, color is more important to you than you give it credit for. So pay attention to the palette you have in your wardrobe. Make sure that it's balanced. Make sure that there is less black than there is now. It feels like black kind of dominates, it feels here. And I would try to make sure that if you're going to wear black, make sure it's accented with a very bright color, preferably red. You're going to find, oh, and here's another lifetime in China. It goes back probably about 14,000 years. You did amazingly beautiful jewelry. You were an artisan that was beyond belief. This time you were a female, and you created those beautiful dragons with the five toes. I would say this lifetime there will be or there is a fascination for dragons, and especially in jewelry, and especially looking for the ones that had five toes, because during that time frame and up until very recently, as a matter of fact, the only people that could wear five-toed dragons were royalty. You know, depending on where you sat in the social structure, depended on how many toes your dragons could have, and of course common people couldn't have any toes. Well, they couldn't have dragons. So you're going to find that there's a fascination for dragons, whether they be European or whether they be Chinese. I do feel that Chinese dragons have a greater call, greater draw for you. You have talents and gifts that you haven't even started to develop yet. It feels as though there is, it's like you're waiting for something, as though you're waiting for a time when you can really put all of your focus and all of your energy into creating things that you have in your head. You have so much in your head, your heart, and your spirit that aren't making it out yet. And I would absolutely say get a sketch pad. Open yourself to the creativity within you, because it will enrich you beyond your imagination. Not necessarily totally financially, but in a sense of seeing your spirit flow and make magic come to life in front of you. I see a change in the venue of your life. I see a shift and a change after the first of the year. It looks like there will be changes. They feel as though they're great changes, that you've outgrown portions of your life and you're moving in new directions. They're not bad changes. And it feels like you've got people coming back into your life that you haven't seen for a very long time. Make sure that you understand that you know, if 10 or 20 years have passed, that everybody can change dramatically. So don't try to see them as they were. See them as they are. Some will probably have a big surprise in store for you. So it feels like a very exciting time for you. And the porcelains, oh my God, Google Chinese porcelains and Google the German porcelains, because the things that you created, especially some of the stuff that was, you know, in the Renaissance stage and then beyond that, I want to go into the time frame. Even the 1940s feels like it was a time where you had your hand in the design and the color and the amazing balance in the work that you did was phenomenal, and no two pieces were ever alike. Even if they were a pair, you just couldn't stand to make them alike, so there were subtle differences on purpose. It's a very exciting talent and gift that you bring into this lifetime. I don't feel that you're manifesting it yet, but when it starts to manifest, you can just buckle your seatbelt, because it's going to be an amazing journey. All yours, Grant.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's funny you talk about the energy of China as well, because the thing is, she's quite delicate at the moment. Can you hear me, honey, by the way?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, there's almost a sensitive energy within the energy of your life at the moment, I'm being told, and I've got my guide working with me with this. And he just talks to me about the energy of where I go through the energy of feeling of let down within the energy of where love comes into the frame. And I know that when he says this to me, he says to me here that there's an energy where there's a need to that energy to be there to strive you forward again. And I feel like pretty much you should be the confident woman, but I feel like the energy of what has come to fusion within the energy of let down within love, and I don't want to feel like this was just recently. I feel like I'm going back a little time with this, but I know that I'm only going back around about the 18-month, two-year period. Does that make sense to you, honey?
Let down in love? I'm married.
Right. That's fine. Now, don't worry about that. But do you understand where I feel like there's an energy changing within the energy of what you felt around the energy of your relationship? And I don't want to put a negative there, but I feel like there's a need to up the energy up. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes, I've been wanting to go to a marriage retreat or a marriage
right.
4 days. So it's whether to go in October, November, or wait till February.
And did you feel the first feelings of that around about 18 months ago, where you felt that needed to come into play?
I've been thinking about it for a while, but it's only been I acted upon it maybe 6 months ago. I started calling and inquiring, but it's been thinking that we need to do something.
Yes. Well, I get a love there. I really do. I get a connection there. But I feel very much within the energy, and I get his energy being very drawn out, very busy, very drained, and I feel like the love's there, but I feel like you need some time for each other. So what you've actually been feeling and what you needed to do within the energy of this is the right path, because I feel within that process that we've got something that just needs relighting or reigniting within that energy. Do you understand what I mean? I think you don't get enough time for yourselves. I really feel that is what my guide is saying to me here, that you need some more time for you too. Does that make sense, honey?
More time for us. Yeah, I was just wondering which one, because the two are run by different different people run, the one in the fall or the one in February. So I was wondering which one to go to because they're different.
Well, as you're talking to me, February is the one that's ringing in my ears. But you know the retreats where you go and there's like a beach? Is one of these got like a retreat near the coastline?
That's the one in October, November, the fall.
Ah, okay. This is the one that I'm looking at. I feel like what I'm being told here is there's an energy here. Ah, thank you. February is the energy where you feel that you might want to be pulled to that one. But I feel like I'm going to the energy of the one where it's near the coastline. Now, whatever that is, I think that's a reason because the universe plays it that way. Because if you went and forced it for February, what I'm being told by my guide is it wouldn't be the right time for your partner. And that might mean that he's either busy around that time or there's something that doesn't sit within the energy of the pressures after Christmas time. But I feel like October would be a better time for both of you. Would that make sense to you, honey?
Well, I got to get him to cooperate.
You will. I get it. I feel like a nice connection
but the
around
one,
it.
The one, I live on Southern California, so I live on the coast.
No, well, if this retreat is inland, I've got one that's actually on the coastline. And do you remember that funny film that was out? And I think there was a few big stars in it, and they all went on the love retreat thing. That's what I'm looking at here. That's why I know it's near the ocean. But I know that what I'm looking at here is something that can be fixed. You are very delicate, so you do, like you've always worked with the China and what Barbara was saying, you are very delicate, so you do have problems communicating yourself. You don't feel like you want to upset. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
You're a delicate soul. So within that energy that, you know, you are delicate, you're used to working with delicate pottery or china. So, you know, your energy is all about making sure that you don't, you know, put any cracks into what's going on. So this is why you're trying to do it outside of the energy where you really feel, and this is what they're saying, you really feel like you need to nurture him a bit more before you do something without actually pulling his energy into it and deciding together. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes.
But I do get a good energy around it. And I feel like he's feeling this as much as you. And what I'm actually getting told by my guide here is that when he looks into his energy, I actually feel that this isn't about you two. This is about the energy of life around the marriage. So I do feel like there's an exhaustion within his energy. I feel like this man does want to put more energy in, but I feel like within that energy, he gets pulled from pillar to post. Does he work away quite a bit, Hannah?
Yes, he does. He puts a lot of hours in. He has a stressful job.
And I get that energy, and this isn't something to overlook, because Spirit's saying to you here that if you can recognize that that's half of the problem, then you're halfway there. And I feel like within that notion that there is some need within you to say, I just feel like I need a little bit more of our time. And I feel that this time of a retreat, that when you do go away, will help that process. It's going to eliminate the energy of the negative thoughts that may lay within inside yourself. And also, slightly a little bit within his energy, because I feel that he feels that he doesn't get enough time with you. And have you got two children, honey?
Yes, I do. I have two boys.
Yeah, because my guys said to me about, well, with the pressures of your life and the two children, you know, you've just become a routine. And the fact of the matter is we've just got to change the routine and find more time for yourself. But I do get a good energy around it. My guide gives you the thumbs up here. He's giving you a little cheeky wink and saying, it will all be fine. And I think that that brings your energy out of yourself and makes you feel a lot more energetic about the other areas of your life. But that is one thing at the moment that is just holding you back, if that makes sense.
Okay, yes.
Well, I hope that's helped you, darling, and I wish you all the best. I really do.
Oh, thank you so much. That was one of the questions I had that I was thinking of when I was waiting. Funny you answered that. I was only thinking about that.
Well, the spirit are always good at bringing forward the most important question.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Okay, it's been a pleasure, darling.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got somebody here who's not on our list. So let's see. Hi, 678-608, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Hi, who is this, please?
Hi, this is Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi.
We didn't have you on our list, so we did. Deb is doing the screening today, and she's doing it from our list. So you know how we work here. I'm going to give you what I get, and then Grant's going to give you what he gets. I'm seeing a very full moon around you. It feels as though the equinoxes and the solstices, you know, absolutely take your energy and make you a wet rag a lot of the time. Full moons, especially for you, seem to be profoundly moving, and they draw you. I almost feel that you might get a headache sometimes when the full moon, especially a super moon, is coming into being. You are very attuned to moon energy, and I would say that in lifetimes past, you've certainly served the sky. You've been a priestess. You've been an oracle, not necessarily Delphi, but you have been an oracle. You were an oracle in South America, and you didn't have a volcano that you breathed from, but you did sit in a cave, and you did give answers to people that came to you. And you, I would say, looking at it from where I am now, that at the time it was equivalent to being a full trance medium. You were able to put your ego aside, to put yourself aside, and to tap into the cosmic consciousness and bring wisdom and philosophy to people. What confused people was that you never gave them the answer to the question they asked. You gave them a philosophy with which they could work to solve the problem themselves, which is really the way it should be. You were well known. You were revered. And I'm going back about 2,000 years here. You absolutely spent your entire time in a cave. Now, during that time frame, that you spent it in a cave because, first and foremost, the acoustics were fabulous for you. And let's get real here. Sometimes, you know, you have to see where you fit the best. You did look for a cave where your voice was absolutely magnified greatly. And what happened, you spent so much time in the cave, and you truly loved the work you did. You loved being with spirit. You loved talking to spirit. You really didn't have much use for normal people because their lives to you didn't make any sense because you dealt so much with the spiritual realm. But you were in this cave for you know, years and years and years. You didn't really like the sunlight. So when you did go into the sunlight, your eyes were greatly affected. And the other thing that I find, that there was an element of rheumatism. Now, it feels to me that this lifetime you may be bothered by eyes that are sensitive to the light, and you may, as you get much, much older, have some aches and pains that are rheumatoid or arthritic. I feel that the arthritis runs in your family to a certain degree. Not horribly, not crippling, it's just there. I feel that you have a gift of healing, a gift of sight, and it's very hard for you sometimes to not tell people what you think and what you see because it's so clear to you that it's like, can't you see this? It's as plain as the nose on your face. So that sometimes you get you become frustrated with people who just can't see what the proper direction for them to go is. You have a fully evolved spirit inside of you that is a master teacher. And sometimes I feel that the teaching profession in some way, shape, or form is a place where your energy kind of seeks, whether it's children or adults, whether it's counseling on some level for, you know, for people who are older. I feel that the consolatory nature is profoundly here for you. I want to go back even further in past lives with this ability to put your ego aside and bring true, good, clear, spiritual material through. If I take you back to, it's interesting, you lived in the time of Enoch. Now, I don't think you knew him, but you were in that same time frame. And while he was taken up by, quote-unquote, the gods, you were in communication with whoever or whatever they were. I don't believe they were gods, but I think they were extraterrestrials of some sort. And so you have that link and that ability to touch into that kind of extraterrestrial energy, not as, you know, a spokesperson for them, but more or less to sort of help others to understand that they mean us no harm. So that you have this lifetime, you stand apart from a normal life. You certainly lead a normal life, but there's a part of you that stands apart from it and is just watching, because in many cases you're watching the evolution of humanity. You're watching a species grow out of the Stone Age, and you're laughing here and there because most of us don't realize that we're still in the Stone Age. We have a long way to go before we get to where we're really meant to be, even though we think we're already there. So that you have a wonderful, a very, very sweet smile in looking at people and listening to them when they tell you how evolved they are, and you just know that they're just starting out. They just know there's evolution. They don't have the faintest idea where they actually are. I encourage you to write. I encourage you to leave a legacy behind you of information that will help generations that are to come, because I do feel that most of the people here today will not understand where you're coming from. You do isolate yourself, but you do have some very, very good, wonderful close friends, and I congratulate you on finding friends that are as good and supportive as you have. And it does feel to me as though you are moving in a direction of finding a way to use your gifts in a way that is very acceptable to everyone around you. So the counseling and the counselatory nature seems to be the direction you're going ultimately. And it may be something that you really work on for the next couple of years in order to really get to a point where you can manifest it so that you can actually use it, and it will support you. And usually I tell people that your, you know, spiritual gifts aren't meant to be supportive. Yours, however, are. So I think you have magic here at your beck and call, and I think it's phenomenal. Grant, what are you getting?
Wow. That's great.
Hello, Grant.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hello, Grant. Can you hear me okay, honey?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
That's okay. I had my microphone on mute here as Barbara was talking. Okay. I do apologize about that. Okay, now, Wanda, it's really interesting with your energy, and I quite understand what Barbara's saying, because there is this starseed energy about you. You know, you're very much in tune with the energy of the universe, and you pick up on people's emotions very quickly. But what I am hearing here, darling, and I'm going to tell you now, I've got Sinatra singing in my ear, and Sinatra's giving me here this song, and you'll know it very well, and it goes something like this. It goes, fairy tales will come true. It can happen to you when you're young at heart. So what they're saying to you is that at the moment you're striving within the energy of where you're looking at a transition around the energy of something on a project of where you're going with your work-wise. But I feel like there's an energy here where I feel like your energy around that process. Does that make sense to you, honey?
Yes, it does.
Right. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing here and what I'm being shown. There's a lady here that is coming towards me, and she looks like Elizabeth Taylor. Now, I feel from what I get is this is a memory going back of a lady that's very much connected to you, of how she looked when she was younger. And this almost makes me feel like I'm going on to your mother's side, and I feel like this could be your grandmother. Does that make sense to you, honey?
Yes, it's my mother. She loved Elizabeth Taylor.
That would make total sense to me. Right, so I get the energy of Elizabeth Taylor here, and I know that her energy is showing me all that. What she says to you here is that you had the goals to accomplish, and it's still to come. And I feel like at the moment we're still building the energy of it, where I feel like the actual fruition of it all is going to come forward within the next 3 years. So there is this energy from your mum that's saying to me here, creativity and creative aspects of your life it's very much been there all your life. And I feel you've got the creative source to make things happen. Now, I'm going to ask you this, darling, but have you been brought up within this energy of being very entertaining? Or did you feel like you wanted to go out there and perform?
Oh, no. I don't think I can perform.
Okay. Was that Mum?
Yes, that was her.
Right, okay. Then it's Mum's way of saying that you've got her energy there. Use that energy that what she put into you through life and put that energy forward in a resourceful way and take her knowledge of the way that she was to put that forward into your work in Phil. Now, there is a transition, I'm being told, within your energy of your work. So are you actually looking at changing work at the moment?
Actually, I'm doing three jobs, and one I think is about to end.
Right. And would you understand, Wanda, with one of them, that you're dealing with customers, or it's almost like a, I know that's a retail, but I feel like I'm dealing with people firsthand. You understand what I mean by that?
Yes, all three of those are retail, and I deal with customers.
Right. The one that I get here is more to do with like a food energy, or the feeling like I'm getting the energy around food with one of them. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one that I feel like there's a transition. Does that make sense to you?
100%.
Right. And I feel like it's something that's coming away, but she's saying to you, not worry, because something's going to build off the back of that, or you're going to go into something else apart from having the two other jobs. So it's not really going to affect you too much financially. But what she is saying to you here is that within the notion of what's coming forward, and be prepared for this, that there is some energy that's going to make you feel like you're going to need to entertain. Now, within that process, it doesn't feel like this other job is going to be totally in the energy of retail, but somewhere I get a link with it. So it could well be that it's promotion within the energy of something that you're doing on that level, or it feels like it gives you the energy that you're being creative with it. So I feel like she's trying to give you a message here. She is saying to me here, thank you, darling, she talks about January. And I feel like January is the time of change within that process where this other job comes in. She also gives me the fix. Slow down, darling, because she's talking quite quickly in my ear. Mm-hmm. Oh, she can talk for Britain, your mum, can't she? She can talk for America, I should say. But she can talk like anything, your mum. When she gets going, she's absolutely going on like mad in my ear. Oh, she doesn't stop talking, doesn't take time for a breath, bless her. But she's saying to me here that you're very much in this energy of transition for one of these jobs. I know that it's going to be something that's going to almost uplift your energy. So I don't know if that energy, even though it's transitioning or you feel that it's transitioning, that's been draining on your energy, but it's going to give you a new lift. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I'm drained. Definitely. Yes.
Right. So it's going to give you an uplift within your energy. So it's not going to be as draining, but I do feel within the energy of what I get around this, Wanda, it's going to give you more lift within your energy because it gives you the sense and vibe that you're actually achieving something within that role. And it's not like a dead-end job. Within that energy, you're actually getting something back from it as much as you are within the finance side of it. But I'm going to tell you this as well. Is Dad in spirit, darling?
Yeah, yes.
Because she just turned around and said, Dad's here with me. So she's saying, Dad's here with me. Now, was Mum and Dad a little bit distant within their energy through life?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Was your Mum and Dad quite distant in life with each other?
No, actually, you know, when you said something about Elizabeth Taylor, they got married three times. They were married, you know, off and on, and,
right.
You know.
So you can understand where there was something in their life that sometimes it pulled them apart and they brought themselves back together again. You understand what I mean by that?
Yes, sir, yes.
Right, that's what she's trying to avoid. Nothing towards the energy of your father. There's a great love over there between them. She does give me March as a month of an anniversary there. So something happened around March. Was it a birthday or wedding anniversary?
I'm not sure on...
Okay.
They've done it three times. I don't know.
Okay, hold the information. But she talks about March here. She does say to me here as well, that she talks about the energy of Who's that? Christina or Christy?
Christina. I do have a cousin named Christina.
Okay, that's fine. Is that your mum? Is that on your mum's side of the family?
Yes.
Is there a wedding coming up around that, or a celebration around that side of the family somewhere? Do you know?
I don't know nothing of that yet. Maybe, you know, later on they'll let me know.
I'll tell you now, Spirit will always give you that because it will validate something that I've just told you. So look out for the celebration that comes up around the energy of Christina, okay, because I know that your mum said she's going to put a hat on for that wedding, and she's also saying to you here it's just validating the energy of where things will change and where things are good around the energy of your work, okay? So I'll leave her love with you, darling, and I hope that's helped you.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful reading. Thank you very much.
Oh, bless your heart, darling. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okie doke. We've got Eric here. Hi, Eric. How's it going today?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm doing all right. I hope you all... Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Okay,
you know the drill. You know the drill here. I'm seeing you with green thumbs. Now, you may not have them this lifetime, but there have been a number of lifetimes where you've had green thumbs, where you've been tied to the earth energy, where you've been one who worked with earth energy. And, you know, it's really funny. I'm seeing you with green thumbs. That to me is symbolic of the fact that you have worked with plants in many lifetimes. And I do believe that you have. Have you ever had a fungal infection in your nails?
In my nails?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Because a green thumb, I just heard, you know, there's another way of applying this, so I figured I'd go the easy way and ask if you had a fungal infection. Anyhow, so I'm seeing you working with plants, and I'm seeing you working with plants in a very unique place. I do believe that you were one of those that helped to construct the Hanging Gardens of Babylon that were not in Babylon. But you were one of those that helped to construct the gardens that brought in the plants that helped to create the beauty that the Hanging Gardens, you know, did have. Of course, they're all it's just a pile of rocks right now, but the Hanging Gardens themselves were just amazing. Not only did you have a love of nature and a love of the plants, and you were able to help to sort of blend the different kinds of plants that were coming from all over the area, you were one of those that helped to figure out how to pump the water up to the heights that then it trickled down. And it was really kind of interesting. It looks like it was a great big screw. And what it does, you screwed the water up. Basically, it looked like a screw. And what it did was it carried the water up. And then it cascaded down from fountains, from waterfalls, and it watered, of course, all the plants on the very top. But you loved during that time frame. That was what you did for that life. You were one of the main. You were told what you were going to have, and then you had to make it work. And you made it work, and you made it work beautifully. And your entire life was taking care of those gardens and making sure that everything flourished. And I do believe that the only thing that ever drove you nuts were the little animals that they let run wild that would eat your plants, and you get very upset with them. You weren't exactly a warm, fuzzy person when it came to plants and critters that were eating what you were trying to grow. But other than that, you had an absolute magical affinity and oneness with the plants, and you just knew what would work and what wouldn't work, and you loved those that would trail, you know, the vines that would trail and drop, the moss that would trail and drop. And you had plants there that were not indigenous to the area, yet you were able to make them grow and flourish. So that you know, one of the things that you loved was the fact that so many of the plants, you know, actually yielded fruit, so that you were able to help the poor and those that you know, the palace, so to speak. So you were actually making it not only a thing of beauty to be you know, to have to stand in awe of, you were being practical about it, and you bring that sense of beauty and practicality into this lifetime as well. Now, if I take you to a different area of the country, again, I see you working with plants, and I feel that you're in Europe, and I'm back, you know, a couple hundred years. This is the time of Nostradamus, and while you were not one of his helpers, you were one of those that grew herbs in the countryside, and that he would go to you for a lot of the herbs, and your love was the nurturing of the plants. You really didn't care about politics. You didn't care about anything else. All you really cared about was having a beautiful garden. And happily, in that lifetime, you had the ability and the money to be able to spend your time as you wanted to. Landscapes now, anything that shows nature in its richness is something that will draw you. You have a oneness with the earth that is really quite spectacular. I do feel that there is a sense here of, gosh, it's nurturing plants. There's something about plants and what you do that's really important. And if you don't have plants, you know, around you, I highly encourage you to have a couple of things that are hard to kill. You know, in my house, I have a garden outside, but not much inside because the cats eat it all. I know there's you know, survival of the fittest and all that, but when you have something that you've worked on growing for a long time and then a cat eats it overnight, it's disturbing. Anyhow, you've got this wonderful sense of rich greenness around you, and to me that's also healing energy. And I do feel that there is great sensitivity and great ability to tune into other people and or animals and sense what is working and what is not, what is in harmony and what is in disharmony, and to know what and where energy is needed in order to bring things back into balance. You are one who loves being in balance, and when something happens and your world is out of kilter, it drives you nuts until you can find that balance, that rhythm once again. It's very important for you to be in balance. It's very important for you to have a firm foundation, because once you know your feet are firmly planted, then you can do all sorts of magic. But if something has emotionally upset you, or in your physical reality something is not in sync, then everything has to come to a screeching halt until you can find balance again. You're not one of those that will just soldier on through. You will insist on being in balance before you make choices, decisions, or new directions are gone in. I feel strongly that there is a sense of opening yourself up, opening your heart chakra to a greater degree over the next 6 months. It's almost as though you have had barriers. Barriers is not a good word, but it's the best word that comes to mind. You've had barriers it's not barriers, actually. You had protection that you put up, and so that you wouldn't be hurt, and it did prevent you from being hurt, but it also prevented you from feeling love. So what I feel is that the barriers are coming down to a certain degree, that there is a better give and take of the energy through those barriers. It's almost as though they've become much more porous, so energy can flow back and forth. You're cautious, but it does feel as though there is a greater trust in the element of the emotional with other people than there has been in a very long time. I feel that's going to increase greatly with time. This is going to be a hard winter for you, hard in the fact that radical changes in weather don't really flow well with you, and that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be a hard winter in difficulty. It's going to be a hard winter in the fact that the weather is going to, in many ways, challenge you and your ability to deal with your reality. I do feel that a more mellow atmosphere is something that you are eventually going to seek. I don't know where you are geographically, but it does feel to me as though warmer weather would be a good place for you to aim at, and especially here in the Northeast, I know it's going to be an exceedingly hard winter, so at least for us. And so I would say that extremes of weather of any kind are not really good for you energetically. You like to have a more constant flow of what your environment is going to be. And if I could put you in a place where it was the same year round, you know, winter, summer, spring, fall, I think that's what I would do, because you are so in sync with the earth energy around you that putting you through even four seasons is really tough sometimes. And again, you as well, affected greatly by the shifts in the seasons and the solstices and the equinoxes. I would really say that it's interesting. You have had lifetimes where you have been involved in the making of structures that were oriented to the equinoxes, so that you have a real link to those particular time frames of the year. You have built structures. You have built stone edifices that were definitely oriented to the equinoxes and the solstices. And you're very, very north, south, east, west oriented. You feel it's interesting. Wherever you live, if it's definitely north, south, east, west oriented, you're fine. If it's off kilter, you won't feel, you know, comfortable and at home, because I think there is an energy flow there that you know, is very important for you to seek out and make sure you find. And, you know, I'd get a compass and find out, you know, exactly what are the directions that are most appropriate for you. And that's what I would, you know, I'd take a compass wherever I went, just about, to make sure that I knew where to sit so I had the greatest flow of energy through me. You feel the energy of environment. You feel the energy of crowds. You feel the energy all over the place. And sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. It feels to me as though you aren't really familiar with how to close your auric field, and that's real simple. You cross your ankles and you fold your hands, and that really seals the aura so that you aren't as impacted by the energy around you as you might be in another time. So I would definitely look to those directions, look to the energy. It feels as though as you come into 2015, there is a shift of focus for you as far as career, as far as personal life, as far as things that you're going to be pursuing. It's almost as though you've turned a corner, flipped a page, and you have a whole new notebook open in front of you, and it's going to give you the chance to sort of hit into some of those and go seek some of those gifts and talents that you bring into this reality that you haven't had a chance to manifest or utilize. It does feel as though there's a whole new chapter of your life opening up, and you've worked very hard to get this far, and it's going to be dynamite. So please enjoy this. As soon as we hit 2015, everything shifts and changes for you, all in a good way. It's very, very exciting. Grant, what are you getting?
Wow. I think there's a lot left after
that. Thank you, Barbara.
Barbara, that was amazing, honey. Hello, Eric. Eric, my guy's laughing in my ear here and said, I've read for you before, and he's going, do you remember Eric the Viking? And I'm going, no. And he's saying, Eric the Viking, you know, read for him before. So I must have read for you before. So anyway, he's going on here, Eric.
Once.
And okay. And I've got you. You know, when you see a mountaineer climbing up a mountain, that's you. He's showing me yourself. Where it feels like it's a bit of an uphill struggle at the moment around life. And I think it's more to do with any energy of work at the moment. I feel like that's sort of really been a bit of a task over the last sort of, I want to say just over the year, really, because that's where he's taking me back to. Now, as I'm talking to you, I've had this gentleman standing in the room with me that's trying to get a communication across. And I do know that with this man, he's actually dressed in what looks like a marine outfit. It almost like he's in dress uniform, and he's got his hat tilted to the side. Not a very tall guy. He looks like he's got one of the flight jackets on, so I actually feel like within his energy he must have flown as well. But I know that there's an energy there that sits over on your mum's side he talks about here. Does that relate to you at all, Eric?
I'm not really sure who that might be. It could be a sibling of...
I'll give you some more information on this guy. He has got very, very sort of white hair. He doesn't look old with the white hair, so he's obviously had a lot of stress in life. But I know that within this energy, he only looks to me like around about 5'7". 5'7", 5'8", I'm putting in the energy. he's a pretty trim-looking guy. He looks pretty good. He looks quite fit. I do know within his energy, he keeps talking about mum's side of the family. And he also talks about the name John. Is there a John on your mum's side?
On my mom's side, no. Not that I'm aware of.
How about your father's side?
My father's father, Albert John Ross. John was his middle name. He went by the name Jack.
Right. Can you understand? Sometimes what happens is that there might have been two Alberts in life, and that's why he's given over the surname. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Right. So, because there could have been two Alberts in life, and that's why he's given over the second name to distinguish the two. I know that with his energy, he's talking about mum. So I feel like there's an energy here where I feel like I want to say to you, not that mum's in spirit, but I feel like I need to put the energy into mum at the moment, even though you've got these other things going on around your life. Does that make sense? Have you sort of got this energy at the moment where you're not talking to mum, or you've been quite distant with mum?
I've been talking to her fairly regularly, but...
How has she been, Eric?
She's been dealing with some health challenges.
Right, that makes total sense to me. Because sometimes the message isn't always for us directly, but it's for us to say that we need to be thinking of others, even though we're going through the energy of what I talked about, this uphill climb with your life. Because sometimes what we need to do, and this is Spirit's way, is saying, look, let's try not to focus too much on our own negatives of what's going on around our own life. If we focus on the other things around our life, then them other things will come into play and will be dealt with naturally as the universe works. But at the moment, there is a focus where I feel like you need to be around mum. And this is obviously your grandfather's way of putting that over towards your mother at the moment. Now, I do know from what your... And was your grandfather a Marine, was he?
My father's father was in the military. I'm not as familiar with what he did in the military.
I just know that, you know, when they've got the hat on and the hat's sort of pointed, but it's slightly over to one side. I'm looking at him here. He's wearing this lovely uniform, but with like one of these puffer flight jackets on. So he's got the uniform underneath. He's wearing this. So it gives me that feeling of like naval, marine, and there was something to do with flying as well. So I get all that mixed with his energy. I know that this is a man that says to me here that you're like your dad, is what he said to me here, that sometimes you lack confidence in life and you need a push. Does that make sense to you?
At times, yes. Yeah.
Right. And it's not detrimental to your energy, because he knows that you're hard working, but when something affects you, say, for instance, you get a blow in life, it really does affect you for a while. And he says to me that, you know, when I look into the energy of where, if we look at personal stuff and where we go back to relationship and where things are within your energy of what let you down a few years ago, and I'm talking about something that left you, it didn't feel like it's with you now, that it took a flow on your energy to get you where you need to build your momentum and self-confidence in about where you are within your life now. Can you understand what he means by that?
Yes, I believe he's alluding to the end of a relationship.
Absolutely, because for you, it's almost like you've drained your energy down, and I feel like it's affecting you around the energy of where things are around life. Now, he does say to me here that there is some work or something to be done at home and you can't find the energy to get up and do it. Does that make sense? So he's saying to me, you know, I'm trying to oomph your energy up from spirit here. He does also want to say to you that within the energy here, he does say that there was something going on within your energy of you. You felt like, I don't know if that's back pain or something down to the leg or like a sciatic nerve going down the leg, but is that something you've been dealing with as well?
Nothing major, but yesterday I was feeling a tingling through my legs.
Right, okay. Remember it. You say it just feels like you need to exercise it more than... Does it feel worse when you're sitting around?
A bit. It might be a circulatory issue, but it hasn't been a major issue. It doesn't help stay around very long.
Right. I don't want to worry you with it. It's nothing major. That's not what he's giving to me. But it feels like you're better to exercise it than when you're sitting down. He totally understands the circulation issue because it feels like you need to get up and walk around and lose the energy of it. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
Now, do you smoke, Eric?
No, I don't.
Feeling like something, and this isn't you, because he's talking about himself now. Who had the problems with their lungs? Was it your grandfather?
Well, my mother's father was a smoker, and my brother is a smoker.
Did he have problems like a lung cancer or something?
He might have. His major problems were in his heart, but I'm sure his smoking didn't help.
Yeah. I think he's putting that down to the smoking. And I thought we were talking about you, but he's obviously talking about himself there and something about the conditions of where it was in life. So I've probably got both of your grandfathers there. Do you understand what I mean? They're just coming in and giving their sense of energy over you. Now, have you been finding life a bit of an uphill climb at the moment?
Somewhat, yeah, because I just ended one job and I'm kind of in flux looking for...
That.
Another one.
Mm. Now, I'm going to ask you this, and this is going to sound really crazy. Have you ever worked with the energy of, like, a drinks company?
Drinks company? No, not really. I mean,
beyond working
in a grocery store.
Right, I'll tell you why. Because they just showed me the sign for Coca-Cola. Right? So when I get that feeling that it's something around drinks or you'll be... If you're in a company that's a grocery, then you might be dealing with a drink section. I don't know. But there's something to do with that coming in. I feel like at the moment, I understand that it's an uphill battle, but I actually feel for you that there's something around the energy of like advertising or something that comes in on a higher knowledge than just working within the energy of like retail shop or something. Do you understand what I mean? So there's something more adhering to your energy that actually gives you this feeling of like, oh, I'm actually... better off than where I felt I was, or it's giving me more energy. Do you understand what I mean? So he's saying to me, look out for that. I don't know what he means by that. Hold up a minute, Eric. Right, what are you saying about that? Okay, right. He says to me that there's two Erics. Who's the other Eric in the family?
I'm the only Eric I can think of in the family.
Right, we'll go and ask your father because he said there's another Eric. So there's two Erics.
Okay.
There was somebody over on the spirit side with the name Eric. He's talking about two Erics. All right? It does say here also that... all right, oh, bless him. All right. Come here. That there's something about the chair, that where you're sitting now, it's almost like there's a chair or a sofa or a couch that you're sitting on. He said, you're looking at it. Or there's something that's not right with it. Do you feel like you want to change the couch? Is it a bit uncomfortable?
The chair is probably too low that I'm sitting on.
Right. It's almost like he's trying to get this feeling of this is something to do with the leg and all the energy of what we were talking about earlier on. It's almost like your posture. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
He's trying to give you this feel. And I'm no disrespect to you, mate, but he's just turned around and said to me, there's a lot of stuff around you on the floor around you. Do you understand what he means by that?
Yes, I do.
He's showing me loads of bits and pieces. I don't know what that is. It's almost like...
I need to do a lot of decluttering.
Yeah, you do. And that's the kind way I was going to put it. It's almost like you need a bit of a declutter. He said, because like it's all around you. It's almost like it makes you feel better. I don't know what it is, but he's saying... If you feng shui the house by cleaning it up, it's going to make you feel more positive.
Right.
So I know it sounds really stupid, but have you ever watched the film Bruce Almighty?
Yes.
Do you remember at the very end of that film when he goes to God and all the destruction's going on around him and he gets in to grab a mop and he mops everything and everything's tidy? Then all the destruction, and he claps his hands, and it's all better outside. It's because when you do something for yourself, it makes and brings positivity in to the energy of the life around you. So I want to say to you, over the next couple of days, from what your grandfather's trying to give me is, if you cleanse the energy of your home, you watch how positive you feel and how the things change around the energy of your life. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes.
So I would say to you, from the energy of what your grandfather says, do that ASAP, and then you'll start to see the change. And that's a very, very, I can understand that, a very, very strong message about how the universe works, how it makes us feel better, and then we start to bring the positivities in without us realizing.
That makes sense.
I hope that's helped you, mate, and I'll leave your grandfather's love. I know there's an energy there where he feels like he wants to get into your mum, and he needs to say, like, be around mum, take your energy off the mind of what your stuff doing, tidy up stuff around your home, and then start to see the things coming, because they're getting a real good energy blast of where things are coming. Now, you've been a very strong man in the past life, and Barbara was bringing all that up. The fact of the matter is, at the moment, you need to be also getting outside in touch with nature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So remember all these things, because they're important to the energy flow of how the universe brings a lot more positivity forward. I'll leave it there. I'll leave your loved ones from spirit with you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Grant. And thank you, Barbara.
I'm gonna hop back in now. He mentioned movies, and I remember a movie I saw, and I don't remember how long ago it was, and I don't remember. I know it was a whole bunch of people who had trouble with relationship, and I'm not saying that you have trouble with relationship, okay? But basically, they were saying to people, you know, get a plant, and if you can get the plant to live for 6 months and flower, then you have whatever, you've done the work you need to do inside yourself, and you can you know, work on a relationship with another person and get it to flower. And when you saw some of these people when they were coming into their meetings, and their plants were brown and dead and dying and just limp, and you know, just it was you had to sit back and laugh, because in many ways that caring for a plant is a nurturing part of our spirit, our soul. And if we can keep a plant alive, and if we can keep, so my question to you is, do you have a lot of plants in your house?
I have a few plants. I have a couple of angel wing begonias in my living room. And for a while I was trying to grow some tomatoes, but the season kind of went by and I was not able to tend to them.
Yeah. Welcome to the club. I gave up on, I have tons of farmers markets around me, and that's where I go for my vegetables. I'm not trying it anymore. But it seems to me that, you know, tend to the plants that you have in your house, because you have that green thumb. You are able to nurture, and you are able to make them really flower beautifully, and realize that care, that tenderness, that love, that whatever that you give to those plants is really symbolic of what you have to give in a relationship. You have to fertilize sometimes. You have to make sure you don't over or underwater or over and under, you know, flood someone with emotional stuff. And you know, if there's something that isn't working, it's like a dead leaf or whatever, you clip it off and you move on. But if you have the basis of a healthy plant, if you have the basis of a healthy relationship, anything can happen, and you can bring anything into flower. It's just amazing. But do understand that relationships are very much like plants. And
yes, I do.
With the next relationship, is there one that one has just ended and another begun, or has the other begun yet?
There hasn't been one that's begun. The one that ended was some time ago, but it took me some time to deal with it.
Uh-huh. I strongly believe you're ready to open yourself up to a new relationship. And I, you know, the thing that you know, just pick up things in grocery stores that look pathetic and start taking care of them, and you'll find that with the ability to help other things flower and grow, you have the capacity to make a relationship work. You have to wait for it to come to you and not go looking for it. That's the only bottom line that I have to give you on that one. Okay?
All right.
Eric.
Thank
Eric,
you so much.
Can I just give you a name? Do you know Susan
sure.
or Suzanne? Do you know Susan or Suzanne?
There's a Susan in my Reiki group.
Whoever that is, as Barbara's talking about the new relationship coming in, that's the name I keep getting given. So look out for that name.
Okay. I'm not sure that it's that same person I'm thinking of.
It
She's
may
in the
not
relationship.
It may not be, but
yeah.
just remember the name.
Okay.
Because I feel it's going to be important, okay?
How cool.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, Eric. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you both so much.
You're so welcome.
It's a pleasure, Mike. God bless.
Yeah, I have a feeling we could have really gone on and really pummeled him with information, but
yeah.
there are other people here. Okay, we've got Nathaniel here. Hi, Nathaniel. How's it going today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. You know how it flows here, right? We give you what we get, right?
Right.
Okie doke. I'm seeing and hearing Tibetan music here. I'm hearing they're chanting. I'm hearing the gongs. I'm hearing there's a flavor of the Himalayas here that is so profound. It is just amazing, and it almost feels as if the air is getting clearer and drier. And you know, I live on a pond, so I'm either. I either live on a pond or a swamp, depending on how I feel about the area. But there's great humidity in the air, and when I shut my eyes and I go into your energy, it feels clear, it feels dry. It feels as though you're at peace within yourself and you're at peace within your environment. I'm picking up, this is definitely a past lifetime, and it does go back, it goes back hundreds of years. It feels as though there is an essence, a part of you that is deeply, deeply, deeply spiritual, and it's a part of you that yearns to be in environments that have a spiritual nature to them, and it doesn't mean that you're out of balance or anything. It just means that there's a part of you that really understands when you're surrounded by those who are of like-mindedness, and those who are more of the oriented toward the physical environment, and they're in their lower consciousness as opposed to going to their higher consciousness. Not that they don't have a higher consciousness, they just don't go there too often. But in this particular lifetime, you actually left home at a very early age. You were drawn to a monastery. You were drawn to the mountains. You were it was like you were in a state of semi trance, because you just kept walking, because you knew that at some point in time you would find where you belonged. And actually, you wore out your shoes. You arrived at the monastery in bare feet, and they were bleeding at the time. They took you in. You were very young. You were 9 years old at the time, and you kept saying, I belong here. I belong here. I've lived here before. And this was, you know, you weren't the reincarnation of the Dalai Lama. I'm pretty sure you were before there was a Dalai Lama, but this time frame it was as though you were returning home. You were returning to the womb, and they took you in, and you were able to name some of the past priests that had passed over, and the time span was about 400 years, and so they accepted you in as a brother. They didn't even put you through training, because you knew it all, and you spent your entire life there. You spent your entire life in prayer. You were quiet. You were not a pushy type person. You knew that that's where home was, and where you were born just didn't fit. And as soon as you were able, you left, and you never, ever looked back. You did grow to be one of the more prominent monks in that monastery. And the cool thing is that you were very, very good at astral travel. You were very good at distant viewing. You were very good at allowing your soul to soar, to move into other realms, to move into other dimensions. And it was something that gave you great pleasure. It was better than 3D TV. And so you got great pleasure in the meditation process. Now, this lifetime, I know that there is a part of you that, that really does like being alone. I don't really know that you like meditating or even if you do it or not, but it feels to me that this lifetime meditation for you is not going to be one of those sitting in a certain position and focusing on a candle flame or chanting Om. Meditation for you this lifetime is doing things that are of more of a repetitive nature, whether it's repairing a car or doing yard work or painting rooms in the house or even, you know, doing something of a mundane nature on the computer. You have a part of you that really strives and seeks for that doorway into that higher consciousness where you can find, I want to say nirvana. It feels as though, I know the Himalayas was one lifetime, but there is another lifetime in India where you definitely were one of the followers of one of the yogis there. And I feel that you did travel with the Buddha, which is kind of cool. And you were absolutely awestruck by what he was able to do. And he basically kept saying, you can do it too, you can do it too. And of course nobody believed him. But he was a master teacher, came to Earth, you know, in order to give out messages of love, peace, and togetherness, and he did a great job. But you were one of those that were very, very close to him, and you always looked for how he did stuff. You always were trying to figure out if it was a trick or if he could actually do what he did. And you know, and you had to finally, you know, at the end of your life, you had to admit that there was no trick to it, that he genuinely could do what he said he could do. And I feel that Buddhism in many ways will appeal to you this lifetime. I'm not saying you have to convert. I am saying, though, that the philosophy of Buddhism is going to be one that will kind of draw you in, and you don't have to get hooked by it or anything like that, but I would do some research and I would do some looking into it because you did have a relationship with the Buddha. I feel strongly that there is a capacity for flight of the spirit here. You look often at birds, and it feels to me that birds, especially large raptors, are power animals for you. And not hawks, not falcons, but eagles seem to be something that really resonates to your energy field. And in a form of meditation, in whatever form you create for yourself, you are able to distant view through the eyes of an eagle. For some reason, it has to be an eagle. It feels to me as though eagles are really, you're really drawn to eagles. They're really drawn to you. It has a connection from a lifetime that possibly goes back about 2,000 years in which you were a shaman of some sort, and you did lead a group of people on quite a trek. I want to say that you were an Indian shaman about, and when I say Indian, I don't really mean Native American, and I don't really mean, you know, to me, and if I offend someone, I apologize, they're the dot Indians and they're the feather Indians. And I don't feel it's either of those two, and yet I feel you were called, or you were Indians. And you came across the land bridge about 15,000 years ago into what is now the United States, and you led the people. And it was a treacherous journey, and yet you always knew the directions to go and when to move and when not to move, because you actually were led by eagles, and you would wait for them. And if they didn't show up, the whole tribe did not move. And when you did settle, you settled in what is now the Pacific Northwest, probably maybe a little more towards the Wisconsin-Michigan area, but above that, more into Canada. I don't know what's there. I'm horrible with geography. But you had the capacity to gain the respect the respect of people through your words, through how you lived your life, through how you spoke. And you were one of those that you didn't demand respect, but you were given respect because you were respect full and you were respect worthy. And people didn't understand the greatness that you had inside of you, but they trusted you. And you were able to literally take this group of people and have 50 or 60 years of absolute peace. And they, when you came across that land bridge, it was rough. It was difficult, and there were those that starved, and there were those that didn't make it to the end of the journey. But you had a large number of people that did survive the journey, and that it was almost like you had came upon a place, had come upon a place of milk and honey. I don't feel that there were any indigenous peoples that you had to fight or struggle with, you know, or to take land or territory from. But I do feel that this was a large group of people. I'm talking in the thousands. And you led them and you guided them. And as far as I can tell, there was never any war or dispute. The things that you laid down as far as not laws, but kind of suggestions, they all followed. And there was a concept of sharing, not trying to, you know, one get more of anything than another, so that there was that sharing and a coming together of, you know, helping one another that was really most profound. There are stories in that particular area of you and the kindness that you had towards your people. You have that same capacity this lifetime. Not sure you're using it to the fullest extent of your ability quite yet, but given another 5 years, I do believe you're going to be using it, and you'll use it brilliantly. Grant, what are you getting?
Wow. The first thing I did get is that this man is a follower, more than a leader, more than a follower. He's definitely had that through his life. Now, Nathaniel, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I sure can.
Right, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to ask you this because there's an important message of a particular young lady that's coming forward to me from Spirit. Now, this is quite an upsetting energy that I have in front of me. Have you got any links to, I have at St. Petersburg. I got St. Petersburg, and I also got the energy of New Jersey. Have you got any links to any of them places at all?
I don't think I have anything to do with New Jersey. I've never been there. I don't know anybody there.
Where is St. Petersburg? Is that over there as well somewhere, is it?
Where?
St. Petersburg?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what?
St. Petersburg.
My uncle lives in St. Augustine, Florida. I really haven't seen him for 35 years.
I'm going to give you the message of the girl that I've got in front of me, and this is quite a disturbing energy within what I've got here, guys, so just be prepared for this. Now, the first thing I'm going to ask you, this isn't the disturbing bit, I'm going to ask you just to see if we got on the right track with you. Did you have problems with the connection with your father?
My father was an Aries ox, so he was kind of yelled a lot.
Yeah, so you had a bit of a hard time connecting with your father in life, did you?
I think so, yeah.
Right, okay. So I know that they're validating with the right person. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason why. I have got a young lady here that has been murdered. And you may have knowledge of this. I don't feel she's family, but I feel like there'll be a connection somewhere. So take the information, because this is obviously something that I get, and it will validate with you somewhere.
Would it have been Kim Riley?
Well, she's a fair-haired girl. She's only a teenager.
Yeah.
And she was strangled.
Okay.
Prior knowledge to this, my friend.
I'm not sure who it is. I think the other one was hit over the head. And
right.
Dumped them.
Sometimes what happens is that they'll try and eagerly push forward, okay? But I know that I want you to listen to this message as much as everybody else that's listening to this show, because she's desperately trying to get a message across here. Now, I get the name with her, Nell or Ellie or this EL-sounding name. She's a fair-haired girl. I know that she was sexually abducted and she was also strangled and tied, and I've got a bound around her neck here. Now, this would have been in a very, very cold area because I'm seeing slight snow on the ground when she was found. I know that she's trying to get the energy over to a name called Anne or Annie. I know that there's a young lady here that I feel like I'm stealing your energy somewhere. So this isn't for you directly. It's somebody that you know, okay? So hold the information with this, okay? Because I know that she's saying, no, I'm with you. Now, there's quite a distressing feel with Anne, the energy of this. She talks to me about November time as a passing time here. And she's got... I could say she's got to be anywhere between 17 and 19. Because I look at here and I can see the mascara that's around her eyes where obviously she was in distress. And I'm seeing that she's very, very upset. She's shivering cold here in front of me. And I can see the bound marks in her wrists and round her neck where this actually was happening. Now, she knew her killer. And she knew that where she was from. Okay, I'll give him that name. She wants to let you know that whoever this is, now I want you to take it away, may not be something you might know it now, but she talks to me about the name that sounds like Roderick, Roger, there's a Rod Rodriguez, there's a Rod Phil there, and I feel like there's something that needs to be put across about the energy of this man. And she's dominating the energy here, my friend, so I feel like she's really coming through to put a message across for you to find out who this connection is. Now, she does say to me here, and she shows me, have you ever been on CB radio?
I've been on Blog Talk Radio. I used to have a show. I have a show.
Do you remember like CB radio in the lorries and things and go, hi, 10 Mark and Buddy and all that? Did you ever used to have one of them?
Yeah.
Right. Did you ever drive in a lorry?
Did I know a Laura?
No.
Did you ever drive a truck?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Did you ever used to drive a big truck?
No, I have driven a big truck, but I really didn't do it regularly.
You know when you drive through America and I drive through these roads that have got like trees, like pine trees either side. I'm looking at an area like this. You're showing me that's the first thing I saw with you when you come on and spoke to Barbara. But I'm being shown here like a CB radio. And where people are communicating. The first thing that I got with that is the communication with your father. Then she come in and talked about the energy of a link towards you, and I'm going, I need to get this message across. And there's this link of this murder. And I feel like I'm going back a long time. So she's been gone a long time. So how old were you in the early 80s?
The early 80s, I was 23 in 1980, and then 25 in 80.
This feels that, because she's talking about knowing or somebody knowing you or connection at that time, where she links in with the energy of knowing you through somebody else. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
So think back at that time and think of somebody that went missing around that time. And I'm going to ask you, would you understand the male name that sounds like Jamie, Jay, Jason, around that time?
Jamie, Jason, I'm not thinking of anyone right now.
Right. Just hold it, take it away, because she is so, so strong, my friend, and she's not coming away. Right, I'm going to leave there with you. I just want to quickly say to you here that there is some work or something that needs to be looked at on a roof of a house. So what is it that you've been looking at on a roof of a property that you need to look at and that has to be done?
What do I look at on a roof? What do I go
on
a roof?
On a rooftop or something that needs looking at work-wise?
It seems like I've always looked at mountains.
Right.
I go
that's
on
not what it is.
Look,
look at your heart. Wherever you're living at the moment, okay, don't think of the mountains. Wherever you're living at the moment, is there some work to be done up on the roof, or is there some work to be done on the ceiling?
Possibly, yeah. The outside needs painting on the eaves, and I'm not sure. The inside's kind of painted. It's been painted. I was going to tell him, just read this place, and I'm going, boy, that sure needs painting on the eaves, you know.
She knows, because she says to me, that's her validation to say there's something that you've been doing or wanting to do on the roof of a house, on the rooftop. So I know that she's trying to put the energy like she connects with you somewhere, and sometimes we may not remember. So she's desperately trying to get a message across here, just to let whoever that is who she's connected to, let them know that she's fine. I do feel like she's a little bit unrested by this, because I feel like she was either not identified properly, or there was something not right around the energy of where she was found. Because I give you the energy of, like, I gave you the energy of New Jersey, but I also gave you the energy of St. Petersburg. So there's some connection that might be to her within the links of her more than you. It could be family stuff. It could be where she was taken to. And I don't feel like she was taken close to home. She was driven right out of state. Do you understand what I mean? So wherever that is, there's something going on there, my friend. So I need you to hold all that information if you could. Do you understand what I mean?
Okay, well, I'll be, aware to let it mean something here in the future, because I'll try to piece the puzzles together that you've given me.
Oh, please do, because, you know, some of the strangest energies of messages come through, and this lovely young lady, bless her heart, she's she looks so scared still, and I think that's because she's not at rest within that energy, and that happens, and I feel like she can now go and be at rest now she's passed this message on.
Yeah, now you can lose sleep over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for calling, Nathaniel.
Well, thanks, Barbara. Thank you so much, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you. No, it's been a pleasure.
Okay, Grant, you hang on for a couple of minutes. I'm going to put you and Deb in the green room. I'm going to say goodbye to people, and I'm going to come and talk to you for a second, okay?
Okay, no problem. Bless your heart.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We've gone over just a little bit. I'm sorry that we didn't get to everybody, but we'll give it a chance next time. Thanks for coming, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day. Bye-bye now.